Spirit, and today we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that you have presented to us. You reveal things to us through your word. And today we say we have eyes that see and ears that hear what you would have to say to help us in our life, because we want to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a Pentecostal church, so you can say amen. Yeah. Okay. What would I say? We are, it was a long discussion with Pastor Jack and Warren Hunter. So we said we are evangelical in belief and Pentecostal in demonstration. So that means we cover the front of the cover to the back of the cover and everything else. Praise the Lord. I like everything in this Bible. I like it. I love it. So, today we're starting a brand new series. So write this on your card, okay? A brand new series. The series is called The Third Person. The Third Person. Hey, Jacob, man, good to see you. Like, he was a little kid way back in the day. All right. Okay, so we're starting a new series called The Third Person. Now, if you've been around church for a while, you know who the third person is, right? You know who he is. Now, if you're new to church or somebody just invited you, well, you might know what that, might not know what that means, and that's okay. Matter of fact, actually, almost a month ago, on June 4th, we celebrate Pentecost. Anybody ever hear about Pentecost? Pentecost Sunday? The rest of you don't? Oh, my. Okay, well, guess what? It's awesome. Pentecost is awesome. And they celebrate it not here in the United States only. It's celebrated all over the world. All right, guys? And you know what's so awesome about it? God decided that instead of one location where the Holy Spirit would be boxed, God decided instead of just one person got to go in there, God decided instead of all the things you had to do, because God said you had to do these things to get into that place with the Holy Spirit, God decided, he said, you know what? I'm going to change everything. Everybody say, change is good, change is good, change is good. Yeah, change is good. And you know what? He said, I'm going to change everything and I'm going to make the Holy Spirit available to everybody. Available to everybody. Because back then, only one person got to go into the presence of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? None of you were it. You weren't it, all right? So God decided, I am going to distribute him to everybody. Say everybody. Okay? And I'm going to, so aren't you thankful? Come on, just think about it. I am thankful. I'm an everybody. All right. So some of you, I'll wake you up here. Now, most of you know that I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church, right? Thank goodness. Because I was very conscious of God, all right? So, and it's real interesting. I was trying to remember, I think it was like in fourth or fifth grade, I don't remember that part, that we would come, I was in that grade, and we got these robes, and we went to church, and they lined us all up front, and the bishop came to that church service. Ooh. And you know what he did in the service? He said to all of us as we were all lined up in whatever grade I was. I know it wasn't in high school. It was much younger than that. But he said, hey, he didn't say it that way, but this is Pastor D. Hey, you all are going to receive the Holy Spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In the Catholic faith? Okay, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And so then he did this. Now, they don't do that anymore. He came up and he slapped you across the face. Really, it was a tap, but you know, this is still the bishop. He tapped you and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. And you know what? I didn't look any different afterwards. I'm sorry to say I didn't act any different afterwards. Okay. So I was still the exact same person after he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the interesting thing is, if you're raised in a church, some of you know about the Holy Spirit. Some of you know about the Holy Spirit. And depending on your church background, okay, you might be here going, oh, no, I'm scared she's going to talk about the Holy Spirit. All right, ushers, lock the back door. Okay? And others of you that you might not even know anything about the Holy Spirit, and you're like, okay, that's cool. Go for it, Pastor D. All right? But listen, this is what I found out. The Holy Spirit has been taught on for years. Years. Because on Pentecost Sunday, like 2,000 plus years ago, guess who came? The Holy Spirit came to the earth that time. Over 2,000 years ago. So people have been teaching about the Holy Spirit for way long times, right? Now, there's a little problem going on. Sometimes because of man's tradition. Everybody say tradition. Yep, tradition, man's traditions, church tradition. And then let's slide in some greasy religion, right? Okay. Because of that, there's all sorts of stuff going on about the Holy Spirit. Just kind of out there, right? And if you just think about church traditions. Now, you think this church doesn't have any traditions. We kind of do still. But think about church traditions based on location. So you're down south and we're the northeast. Y'all down south, you talk about the Holy Spirit. It is different than what we talk. Really, it's different because of locations and traditions here. Alrighty. So I thought I would, now I stole this word. I just thought it was the coolest word. So get your pen ready. I thought what we do is demystify stuff about the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a cool word? Demystify. Let me tell you what it means. To make something clear and easy to understand. To explain something that is no longer confused or mystified. Demystify, all right? Listen, I know this for a fact. For years, I was mystified about who the Holy Spirit was. I mean, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, but I still just, you know, that slap on that face thing. I still was kind of mystified. And I know there's a lot of people that are like that. So I would like to start off with a scripture. If you all open up to Acts chapter 19, when you get there, say hallelujah, because we are a Pentecostal church. No, you can say whatever you want. Just get there. The guys will put it up there, but I think it's good to look. All right. So we're at Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. All right. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Okay. AKA believers, right? Believers. People that know Jesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And listen to their answer. No, we have not yet heard. There is a Holy Spirit. You know, I think that's sort of like the church today. I really do. I think that's like a lot of people in the church today. Now listen, if you're not a follower, if you've not asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, well, it's kind of a given that you probably don't know much about the Holy Spirit. I get it. But if you're a believer, if you've received Jesus, you're a Christian, a follower, whatever word you want to, do you know the church is still kind of split up on this, the Holy Spirit? And some people still don't know the Holy Spirit. They still don't know the Holy Spirit. And just like in Acts 19, we don't even know there is a Holy Spirit. We got people today, same as Acts chapter 19. Now, crazy thing about this. Crazy. Listen, from Acts chapter 1 all the way to Acts chapter 19, guess what? Years have gone by since Jesus died and was resurrected. Years. You can Google out later how many, but years have gone by. And they got the same thing happening like we got happening. The question, did you receive the Holy Spirit I don't think we've heard about him. Okay, we got the same thing going on. Okay, so interesting. Well, what about if you're this nice Southern Baptist person? And there's a lot of good Southern Baptist people, and thank goodness, because they will tell you who Jesus is and tell you you need a Savior, and they'll get you there, all right? But it's real interesting. You may be Southern Baptist, and guess what? They'll say, I've received the Holy Spirit. They'll say that, all right? Well, then why are you asking me, have I received the Holy Spirit? Because Acts chapter 19 is something different. It's referring to something different. It's a different experience, okay? Acts chapter 19 is different, all righty? Now, let me say this so we clear up this. Everybody, if you've received Jesus, if you said, Jesus, I'm a mess, I need you, come into my life, because that's what I said. Guess what? The day you received Jesus, you did receive the Holy Spirit. You did, all right? You did. And you know what it is? He comes in, the Spirit of God comes in, and he lives in you. So you did receive the Holy Spirit. So everybody who's asked Jesus into your life, you have received the Holy Spirit, okay? But this is talking about a different experience, all righty? Now, some of you are like, well, I didn't want the Holy Spirit when I believed in Jesus. Tough. He didn't take a poll. Are you Baptist? Are you Catholic? Are you Episcopal? He came in. If you asked Jesus, if you received Jesus, he came in. He, all right? He didn't ask permission. He's in you. Say, the Holy Spirit's in me, okay? But this Acts chapter 19, where Paul is referring to something else. So we're going to talk about the something else. Are you ready for something else? All right. Now, I've said this before. If you look up the word prayer in your Bible, it's listed about 500 times. Who would agree if you look up prayer in the Bible and it's 500 times? That's a lot, right? And if you look up the word faith, it's in the Bible over 500 times. And if you look up the word money, generosity, guess what? It's there 2,000 times. So don't say, oh, they always talk about money. Guys, it's in the Bible a lot. And God talks about how you handle your money, good, bad, and the ugly way. And he talks about, you know, what you do. So in the Bible, you go digging in there, it's over 2,000 times it talks about it. Well, guess what about the Holy Spirit? Give me a number. Anybody got a number? How many times you think it's in the Bible? Number. 800 times. 800 times the Holy Spirit's mentioned in the Bible. Okay, so if something's mentioned a lot, wouldn't you think God's going, I think this is important, right? He's saying, I think this is really important, okay? So again, I grew up in the Roman Catholic faith, and even though I grew up in the Catholic Church, I basically was a good secular girl, real secular. Okay, I was secular. Okay, that's not a compliment. I did everything that my friends were doing, okay? But the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and let me say that again, Savior and then Lord, when I made him my Lord, it changed how I did my life. But before that, I was just a good secular girl who happened to be Catholic, all righty? And I watched a lot of things, all right? Did anybody watch Casper the Friendly Ghost, the cartoon? See, you bunch of secular people here, all righty. Now, So, Pastor D, why are you telling that? Because Casper the ghost, you know, when you say that word ghost, you say the word spirit, all right? People get a little, so here we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So people still do. The Holy Ghost, people still go, all right? I don't want you doing that, okay? Don't go creeping out on me, all righty? Praise the Lord, I want you doing that. But and you know, it's really funny. If you tell people that you go to a church that we talk about and we believe in the Holy Spirit, they're like, oh, you go to one of those places. They're weird. Anybody, you know, you kind of tell them about all that? Yeah, they tell you you're weird. Okay, listen, we're not weird. I'm not weird. Not really. We're not weird. This church is not weird. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit isn't weird. people can be weird. Everybody say amen. Amen. I have seen some weird people who have the Holy Spirit. They can be weird. But listen, the Holy Spirit is not weird. The Holy Spirit's not weird. The Holy Spirit's not weird. I just want to make sure I looked everybody in the eye. He's not weird. All righty? So if you look up the word spirit in the Bible, it's found all through the Old Testament, guys. It's also found all through the New Testament. But the word for spirit in the New Testament, in the Greek, it says pneuma. I thought you could have some words to talk about at lunch. P-N-U-E-N-M-A, okay? Did I spell that right? No. P-N-U-E-M-A. So that's your lunchtime conversation. That word means spirit. And you know what that means, really, in the Greek? It means air. It means breath. And it means wind. So the Holy Spirit means air, breath, wind. So again, giving you all my growing up in the Catholic Church, every meal that we sat down to, guess what we did? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Anybody? In the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In the name of Father, Son, and Ghost. Some of you are like, what kind of garbage, what kind of interesting thing is that? I was just Catholic. We did that. But it was to give you a conscience, all right? Now, can you imagine us doing this in the name of the Father, Son, air? In the name of the Father, Son, breath? No, that didn't go over. We said in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, okay, depending on how young you are, all righty? So listen, guys, this Bible that you have, the guys that wrote that, when they were writing it and they were inspired by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, all right, they didn't know how to translate this word spirit, okay? They were thinking, holy air, holy breath. So I'm giving you the Bible scholars, D. Cashman version. They say it much more professionally than I do. So they didn't do holy air, so they said Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So guess what, though? The Holy Spirit is air, the Holy Spirit is breath, and the Holy Spirit is wind. He is. So let me put it this way. He is a wind. Now, how many of you can see the wind? Can you see the wind? No. All right? You can't really see the wind. And the Holy Spirit, you can't see him. You can't see him. But how many of you have sensed the Holy Spirit? Okay, I hate to say this. You know, felt those Holy Ghost goosebumps. Anybody ever have that? Okay. Goosebumps don't mean always the Holy Spirit, okay? Go walk in a deep freeze and you'll be goosebumped. That's not the Holy Spirit. But it's just, you know, we'll say. So what I'm really saying is you may not see the air, the breath, the wind, but you know the Holy Spirit's moving. You all know when the Holy Spirit's moving? Okay, I do. So write this down. God's gift to the world is Jesus. Or Jesus is God's gift to the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave them Jesus. Okay, so Jesus is God's gift to the world. Jesus is God's gift to the world. Now write this down. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. The day you receive Jesus, you're called the church. You're the believers. You're the followers. You're born again, all right? So the Holy Spirit is given to the church. Everybody say the Holy Spirit's given to the church. I'm the church. Okay. Now, there are times in our service we'll ask if anybody would like to receive Jesus. They raise their hand and they ask Jesus to come into their life, right? They come into their life. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, I've done that a long time ago. Okay. So they receive Jesus into their life. But here's my question. Do you know who dealt with their heart? Who dealt with their heart? Who draws people to Jesus? The Holy Spirit. So yes, the Jesus is for the world, but the Holy Spirit's involved there also. Isn't that wonderful? He drew you, baby. He reeled you in. He deals with hearts. He deals with hearts, okay? But the Holy Spirit is also for the church. And he wants to be involved in the church, not the building. You, he wants to be in you and moving in you. He wants to do stuff in you and through you. So praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit's for the church. All right. So today we're going to talk about a couple of things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, like who is the Holy Spirit? So today's message is, who is he? Who is he? That's what we're going to talk about. Who is the Holy Spirit? Now, you might be thinking, Holy Spirit, oh God, it's going to get weird. It just gets weird. Nope. I promise you, we're going to look at the Word of God. God's not weird. The Bible isn't weird. People get weird, but we're going to look at the Scriptures. We're going to look at this, and so it's not going to be weird. I promise you. All right. Alrighty, so John chapter 14, 15, and 16. You can just write those, John chapter 14, 15, and 16. I'm just giving a little background. That is where Jesus is talking to all his disciples. It's the Last Supper. You all know about the Last Supper. It's the Last Supper. Jesus is talking to his disciples, his boys that he's done life with, and he starts to explain to them that he's going to be leaving. That's what's going on at this chapter 14, 15, and 16. He's going to explain to them he's going to be leaving. And he knew they were going to be very upset. Actually, he knew they were going to probably have a meltdown, freak out, whatever you want. And they're probably going, what do you mean you're going to leave us? You can't leave us. They were thinking that, and some of them were even saying that, all righty? So, by the way, did you ever notice that those disciples with Jesus were kind of dysfunctional? Just think about Peter. And he hung out with Jesus for 3.5 years. And in those 3.5 years, they were dysfunctional. Those guys were dysfunctional. And then Jesus comes up to this nice 12 dysfunctional bunch and he says, and now I'm going to leave. Do you think it's going to get any better for them? That's why Jesus says, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to bring somebody else to take my place. AKA who? The Holy Spirit, all right? He says, I'm going to give somebody who's going to replace me, all righty? He's going to replace me. So I've lost myself on my notes here. Turn over to John chapter 14. Here we go. One day I was like, what scripture are we up to? Turn over to John chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Again, Jesus is telling these guys, hey, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to bring somebody else. He's going to replace me. His name is the Holy Spirit. But he's telling them again, I'm leaving, I'm leaving, I'm leaving. John chapter 14, verse 1. Guys, this is like the scripture we use at funerals all the time. You might recognize this here. I'm going to my Father's house, right? And in my Father's house are many. I go for mansions. Okay, whatever you like, okay, mansions, rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you because I'm going. All right, now jump over to John chapter 15. Because Jesus said, because I'm going, he starts explaining why and what's going to happen. John chapter 15, John chapter 15 verses, John chapter 14 verses 15 and 16. Look at the screen. They know better what I'm doing. Sorry about that. All righty. John chapter 14, 15 and 16. This is Jesus, and he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Remember, Jesus says, my commandments are not burdensome. That means they're not hard. Guess what this commandments basically was? Love one another. That's not so hard. So he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. A lot of translations will say helper or comforter. Helper or comforter. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to send, my Father's going to give you another one, a comforter or a helper. And he, to be with you forever. To be with you forever. How long? How long? Ooh, forever. Okay. So God also says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Right? You know that one? I have never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. God's saying, I will never leave you alone. Never. No, not never. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. And the reason why he says it is because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be inside of you. So you're never going to be alone. All right. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes we get crazy and we do things bad, say things, shouldn't say, do things, shouldn't say. Okay. And God says still, I'm never going to leave you. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, shoo, I just love, Father, I just love that you love me even when I mess up. You said you would never leave me. Thank you. Thank you. You are always with me. Okay, jump down to verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world is someone who has not received Jesus. Someone who's not received Jesus, that's called the world, okay? Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you. Oh gosh, this is the best part. And he'll be in you. He dwells in you and he'll be with you. Or, whoa, okay. And then he says, I'll not leave you as orphans. Alrighty. I'll not leave you as orphans. Alrighty. I'll not leave you as orphans. I'm so glad. Shoo. Okay, but I want to back up the last part. Because he neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and he'll be in you. Where is he going to be? He's going to be in you. The Holy Spirit's going to be in you. Shoo. Wonderful, wonderful. So the second verse talks about orphans. Everybody know what an orphan is? You probably know an orphan, right? Someone who doesn't have parents or family. And whenever, and listen, it is not a role in the park being or an orphan, especially hundreds of years ago. How many guys have ever read anything about George Mueller? He lived in the 1800s, and he was in England, and he was an evangelist, and he started orphanages in a time where there wasn't money. He started orphanages for taking kids that were just abandoned, all right? So can I tell you one of my favorite stories about him? All right, thank you. I'm going to... let me back up. Okay, I'll tell you the story. Okay, let me find my story. Nope, I'm not. I'm going to save it for later because it's on page 10. Here we go. Look at verse 17 and 18 again. Just look at that. 17 and 18. There's two things he says. I'm going to send another. Another. Another what? I'm going to send another helper or comforter. I'm going to send another helper or comforter. That word another means another one of the same kind. A duplicate. Anybody know, back in the day, we'd get that carbon copy, that purple sheet here. You remember, you'd write on top of it, and then you'd have a duplicate, okay? I'm so glad we don't do that anymore. That was a mess. All righty. So he's saying, I'm going to send another one just like me. He's going to be a duplicate, all right? So Jesus was saying to his guys, I know you guys are going to be a mess. I know you guys are going to need help, but I'm going to send another one like me, a duplicate of me, all right? And that is the Holy Spirit. Now, what's crazy about that is those 12 disciples, they were with Jesus all the time. Pretty much, right? Pretty much all the time. And then you got the crowd. We're probably the crowd that was hanging out with the groupies. Okay, and we're going to go hear Jesus. And it says multitudes and multitudes would come and hear Jesus. Now, the 12 were probably right around Jesus. But you all and me all, we're up in the nosebleed section, right? And you might have been able to see Jesus and you might have been able to hear Jesus, but you probably couldn't get close to him, right? Because there were multitudes. But those 12... guess what? They were right there with Jesus. They had access to Jesus all the time, all the time. And what Jesus said, I'm going to give you another one, a duplicate with me. He says, so no more do you have to be the 12. Every one of you can have access to the Lord, to the Spirit of God. Every one of you. Isn't that wonderful? That's so cool. Because you weren't the 12. Okay, so he says, I'm going to send somebody who's going to be just like me, a duplicate. All righty, so here I am, jumping around. So the second thing he says, I'm going to send someone who's going to be a comforter, a.k.a. An orphanage. And now I found my notes, so I'm going to read it to you about the orphanage and George Mueller. He said, on one occasion, this is George, he gave thanks for breakfast when all the children were sitting around the table. And even though there was nothing to eat in the house, they finished praying. Wait a minute. They're praying, thanking the Lord for the food, and there's nothing on the house. That's a man of faith. So he said, they're praying and thanking the Lord, and when they finish praying, there was a knock at the door, and the baker walks in with sufficient fresh bread for everybody, and then the milkman comes in, because guess what? His cart had broken right out front. Imagine that. That's faith. So read the biography of George Mueller. I got so distracted this week reading it. I was like, wait a minute, I got to teach more on the Holy Spirit. But just an incredible man of faith and what he did. And by the way, he refused to receive any money from the government. He never solicited for money. And he had thousands of kids, tens of thousands of kids. And he opened up multitude of orphanages in 1850s. And he died at about 18, he was about 92 years and died about 1890. I am challenged. How about you? All righty. So an orphan means somebody whose parents or family left them. And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm never going to leave you. You'll never be like the orphans where people abandon you. Has anybody had people abandon you? Okay, Jesus says, you're not alone. I love it when people say, well, I'm single, I'm alone. I'm divorced, I'm alone. I'm a widow, I'm alone. No, he's saying you're never alone. So when you get that thought in your head, that's just a thought in your head. You've got to get it replaced with what Jesus says. He says, I'll never leave you. You're never alone. Woo! I love it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you can have God on the inside. You can have the Holy Spirit live inside. And he's going to be the duplicate of Jesus. And he says, you'll never be alone. Alrighty. Now, open up to, let's drop down to verse 25 and 26. So we're Matthew, excuse me, where am I today? I'm so excited. I made this amazing coffee this morning and I decided to put ice in it and then I put more ice. So I probably had too much coffee. I'm really sorry. Thanks, Maria. Got me onto iced coffee here. So anyway, we are at John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26 here. Alrighty. I have told you these things while I'm still with you. I'm going to talk slower. Okay. But the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit. Just in case you didn't know what that meant, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me, to act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remember you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. That's pretty amazing. Everything I've told you. So before I say anything, everybody know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The authors Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Now, it's really interesting. They were walking around with Jesus, but they did not walk around with a pen and a paper. Oh, my gosh. He just healed that lady who was bent over for 18 years. Did you write that down? Write that down. They didn't do that. Okay, as a matter of fact, it was 70 or 80 years later that they wrote what you have. All righty. So how'd they do that? The Holy Spirit, because it says the Holy Spirit will remind you. Aren't you glad? Woo! Hallelujah. How about if he reminds you of a few things? Yeah, praise the Lord. He does. All right. So I want to go back and read that verse 26 again. But the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. Okay, now say, Pastor D, I love you. Okay, good, because I'm going to step on some toes. Ready? You know what I see people do about this Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, the wonderful Holy Spirit. They use him as a cop-out. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Oh, no, hang on with me. They use the Holy Spirit to get out of things. Ready? Okay. I'm not talking about the church down the road. Ready? Oh, you know, I'd like to serve in church, but, you know, the Holy Spirit just won't let me. Yeah, got it. Or, you know, I just really would love to open up my house and host at my house a grow group. But, you know, the Holy Spirit's just telling me no. People blame the Holy Spirit for stuff. Ticks me off. So that's why I'm going over this. All righty. Okay. And, you know, when someone says that, well, the Holy Spirit told me that, then I'm like, crud, I can't say anything. The Holy Spirit told them. Right? Like the Holy Spirit said, I can't come back. Ah! All righty. So There are times, though, you need to sit out. There are times we know you need to take a break and not do something. There's some big things happening in your life. But really, I'm telling you, most of the time, people are blaming the Holy Spirit. You ought not to be blaming the Holy Spirit, because it says the Holy Spirit represents Jesus. And you're not representing Jesus really nice when you're saying, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said I can do this. The Holy Spirit said I can't do that. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Anybody know any people like that? Yep. Okay. All righty. You know, I was thinking about it. The Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said this, the Holy Spirit. I think they think the Holy Spirit said more to them than the guys that wrote the Bible. All right. So sometimes I feel like we use the Holy Spirit like the default button. We hit this default button and we use it as an excuse. And instead of saying, you know, to be honest, not the Holy Spirit, not God, I just don't want to. Because then I'm going to pounce on you. But when you put the Holy Spirit in there, I'm like, hands off, can't do anything. Okay? So be honest, all righty? Now, can I tell you some weird stories about people in the Holy Spirit? I was like, oh, okay, yep, they're not here. No, I'm like kidding. I was with a group of pastors. I am so blessed and honored to go to several ministers' conferences. And I'm telling you, I get refreshed. One, I get to walk in, sit down, and do nothing. I don't have to worry about if the lights are on, if it's too hot, too cold, if nobody showed up. I love going to these things, okay? So super relaxed. So we're at a table, and we were kind of chit-chatting, you know, tell us the weirdest thing that ever happened in church. And this pastor was like, I got one. So this was a Sunday night service, and they had steps like this up to their platform. So the pastor's ministering on Sunday night, and all of a sudden, this man in the back stands up, walks up front, and the pastor was up. He's up on the platform here ministering. Man, it's up higher, okay. And the guy walks up here, and he jumps down, and he starts doing push-ups. First off, ushers, you should have nailed them. Okay, that's always our big joke. Ushers get to do the first takedown. But so the guy finishes his push-ups, and he looks the pastor right in the eye, and he says, "The Holy Spirit told me to do that." A true story. Praise the Lord. Don't get any ideas. Okay, so I was thinking there, no, the Holy Spirit will never interrupt a service where the Spirit of God is moving when someone's ministering the word. No, the Holy Spirit will never do that. Everybody say that's not the Holy Spirit. Okay, all righty. Now, I know that's kind of a funny story because it happened to him, not to me. But to most people, that would be scary, weird, all righty? And to the point where that's weird, done, out of here, never coming back. I have been in some weird services where, oh gosh, these two guys walk into the service and he's got a belt on and this long sword attached here down to the ground. So I get smart. I run to my ushers. Keep an eye on him. Watch him. Don't let him out of your sight. So in the middle of worship, this guy gets, okay, everybody say weird. And he said the Holy Spirit told him to do that. Oh my God. Holy Spirit, tell him not to come back, please. All right. Okay. But the problem is when people act weird and they blame it on the Holy Spirit, I'm out of here. All right. That's not good. Oh, I have no more stories. Okay. I walked out of two services because it got weird. All righty. Okay, everybody, moving right along. Verse 26. Here we go. The word comforter, like in the Amplified and the King James, it's the word comforter. Other times it's the word helper. So the Holy Spirit's described as comforter or helper. All righty. Now, if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit is parakletos. Now, you know two words in Greek, and it means one called alongside to help you. One called alongside to help you. Isn't that wonderful? wonderful. The Holy Spirit that's called alongside to help you. All righty. So if you're writing notes, the main job of the Holy Spirit is to help you. Help you. So when my kids were little, especially Jesse, I said, honey, wear this prayer out, the help prayer. He would just go, oh, he'd get himself in pickles. I said, pray that prayer, baby. Do that prayer. Help. He knew the Holy Spirit really young. He was calling on him all the time. Okay, you should call on all the time, all right? So in the Amplified, it says comforter, and then it lists six other terms or six other expressions or six other, I'm trying to think of another word, meanings of what the Holy Spirit means. Okay, so we have comforter first, then it says counselor. People go to counselors, don't they? All right, and that's good. But guys, you could have the Holy Spirit counsel you. Therefore, every time someone says, Pastor D, I'd like to come in for a counseling appointment, I go, see that wall? I don't have any degrees in counseling, but I got the Holy Spirit, and we're going to invite him in to be the counselor. All right? Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Okay, the other thing, he's called the helper. Anybody ever need help? Holy Spirit, come help me. He's called the intercessor, one who intervenes on the behalf of somebody else. The other one, he's the advocate, one who pleads on behalf, all right? Strengthener. Anybody, your vitamins aren't cutting it? Okay? You can ask the Holy Spirit. But it works like that. I mean, and not it works, I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit works like that to strengthen you. But there's a strengthening. It's in Ephesians that he would strengthen you on the inner man. You know, when I'm strengthened on the inside, I don't get so tired on the outside. So I pray that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're my strengthener. You're my strengthener. Especially, you get up, it's Monday morning, you know what your week's going to look like. You know you're going to run out of steam. You start right there. Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're my strengthener on the inside. I thank you. You strengthen me, and this is going to be a glorious week, and I'm going to end well, all right? Last one, standby. So he stands by us. So sometimes people won't stand with you. Yeah. Okay. The greatest person that you can have standing by you always is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. All righty. I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And the best way I can do is tell you my story. Aunt Florence. Aunt Florence, born and raised in Brooklyn. And then she was probably about 40 when my aunt and uncle moved to Spring Valley, New York. And they had six kids, and they needed to move out of that little house in Brooklyn, so they moved up there. So Aunt Florence gets this new house, but she's got furniture in the house, and you are not allowed to use it. You know the living room? Okay, no joke. I didn't know they do this in movies. They make a joke out of it. She had the furniture, the sofa, and the chair covered in that thick plastic. Don't they do that on my big fat Greek wedding one? Yeah, she had furniture covered with that thick, and in the summertime, that's disgusting, right? But what she was really saying is, you can't use it, right? And then she had, and I was a little girl, so I was just super like, ah! She had this huge china cabinet, and she had inherited lots of china and cut glass and goblets from her mother, and it was beautiful, just beautiful. We never got to use it. Never, 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 okay? You could look at it, but you couldn't use it, all right? So where am I going with that? I think that's what people do with the Holy Spirit. I think that's what they do with the Holy Spirit, okay? We never use him. We never use him. I just gave you six, seven meanings of all the Holy Spirit and all the different ways you can use him, but people don't use him. They don't utilize what he wants to do with you. He wants to be used in you. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay? So we do that sometimes with the Holy Spirit. But guys, the Holy Spirit, you should be like, Holy Spirit, I need you today. Not just once a year, if Aunt Florence will get you out. No, but I need you in my life daily. Holy Spirit, thank you. You're working in my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All righty? Everybody say, utilize him. Amen. All right. Write this down. These are two things that you get from the Holy Spirit. These are two things you get from the Holy Spirit. You ready? Number one. you will get from the Holy Spirit. He will actually teach you. He will be the teacher. Matter of fact, he's the master teacher. He's the genius. He knows everything. So the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. Anybody you think you might want to tap into him? Okay, so I used to get really intimidated and fearful. Oh, that's one of my fears. Last week's message. Here we go. When I had to deal with insurance companies. They just spout off these big words. And I'd lock down. Okay, so I started going, Holy Spirit, you know more than they know. And you definitely know more than I know. So I need you to help me understand this. And it was okay. They're still not my favorite people to call. Alrighty, but he'll be your teacher. Okay, number two. This is what you get from the Holy Spirit. He will bring things to your remembrance. He will bring things to remembrance, okay? How many of you have ever made a grocery list? Okay, you hop in the car, you drive, you get in there, and you realize you left the grocery list at home. Anybody ever do that? So I do this all the time. Holy Spirit, you need to tell me what's on that list. Okay, how about this one? You walk out in the big mall, and there's like a zillion cars, and you're like, oh my gosh. Then you go, trying to find your car. Alrighty? Okay, so let me say this. The Holy Spirit will help you in any situation. Okay? But I'm telling you, he wants to do more than helping you find your car. He does. Everybody write more on your notes, okay? The most important thing that the Holy Spirit wants to help you with is with people. In case you didn't know, the gospel is about, I read it this morning, it's still about helping people. The good news is about telling and helping people. So the Holy Spirit, yes, he's my teacher. He brings things into remembrance, but he wants to help you help people. All righty? So, again, John chapter 14, 15, and 16, this is Jesus, Last Supper, talking to his disciples, said, hey, listen, boys, I'm out of here, but I'm going to give you somebody, a duplicate of me, who will be just like me, but always with you, all right? Now, read verses, last one, here we go. John 16, verses 12 and 14. John 16 now, we're going to jump down there. John 16, verses 12, 13, 14. There's so much. This is Jesus. It cracks me up. Okay. You guys, just pretend you're with him, all right? Just like you read your Bible and like, eh. Okay, I'm reading it. I'm going, this is Jesus. There's so much more I want to tell you, you pathetic things. No, he didn't write that. But he says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it. Okay. All right. He loved those guys, right? When the Spirit of truth comes, who's that? You sure? Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future, and he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Okay, so we just went over some jobs about the Holy Spirit. Here's two more. You ready? Two more things that the Holy Spirit's job is. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth, all right? The Bible, the Word of God is truth. But guess what? If you're not reading your Bible consistently, if you don't hear the Word consistently, he doesn't have anything to work with. He will guide you in truth, a.k.a. the Word of God. So that's why you got to keep this in you. You got to keep this in you. That's how he's going to guide you, all righty? Number two, he'll tell you the future. Everybody likes that, right? Tell me the future, tell me the future. Okay, but listen to this. There are some things that God knows, he sees, he knows, things that are going to happen that you don't know, right? Would you think? Yeah, he knows everything. So what he's going to do, he's going to start putting something like this. You just kind of know, man, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I know, I just don't have all the details, but I know I shouldn't make this investment. And I don't know why. And by the way, he doesn't tell you all the whys, all the why. He doesn't tell you all the whys all the time. Sometimes it's just the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever had that happen? This happened to a friend of mine. She said, we were supposed to go on this weekend away. And I just knew we weren't supposed to go. And come later to find out. So they didn't go. They didn't go. And it was like a 10-hour drive up to about five states away. Turns out there was a fire in the place they were going to stay. They were going to stay in a cabin. And they would have gotten up there and not had any place to stay. All right? The Holy Spirit. So you've had that where the Holy Spirit's just telling you stuff you don't know. He tells you the future. So that's really good. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise God. And the third job, the last one it says in here, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. So we're in a church service. We're in a church service and the Holy Spirit's just moving. He's not going to be talking about, oh, YCF is so amazing. YCF, no, he glorifies Jesus. Oh, Pastor D is just so amazing. No, he glorifies Jesus. And people come up to me all the time, and I've learned this. Pastor D, that was a great message. Glory be to God. Glory to Jesus. Because I stole everything from him. All right? So the Holy Spirit, he said, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit, I'm leaving, going to my Father. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, everything that he hears from me, and it's all about me. And he'll glorify me. He'll glorify me. He'll glorify me. Praise the Lord. So our worship service, it's glorifying Jesus. People that tell me all about the devil. I'm like, I don't want to hear about the devil. All righty. All right, last two things. The key message here that this is all about, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, write this down, is there to help me, and the Holy Spirit's there to help you. That's the whole message in a nutshell. The Holy Spirit's there to help me, and the Holy Spirit's there to help you, okay? Listen, the Holy Spirit will help me be a better mom. The Holy Spirit will help you be a better dad. The Holy Spirit will help you be better at whatever. How about this? The Holy Spirit will help you be better employee of the month. All right? As long as you don't go weird. Okay, can I tell you one more weird story? This person who has the Holy Spirit, they're born again, says, you know, Pastor D. Okay, I got to leave out a few things here. I felt like the Holy Spirit, first off, his employer is not born again. He has not received Jesus or the Holy Spirit, his employer. And the guy says, you know, Pastor D, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, go out my car and read my Bible. So I just got off the job, just walked out, sat down and read my Bible. Now, I can't tell you the rest of the story, so I'll just kind of bleep, bleep. So if that employer's not born again, you're fired. And if that employer is born again, he just wants to slap you silly, as Andrew Womack says, right? Just want to slap you, okay? That's weird, okay? Let's demystify the junk about the Holy Spirit and not be weird. Everybody say, I'm not going to be weird. Okay, last things. Here we go. John 4:14, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will be like a well inside of you. A well. Everybody know what a well is? You know, the water comes in the well. Okay, W-E-L-L. That's not my Jersey accent, I hope. Well. It'll be a well. And then in John 7:38-39, he says, the Holy Spirit will be like a river flowing out of you. Okay, Pastor D, what do you mean? Why are you so happy? Okay, the Holy Spirit will be in you like a well for you. He will help you. He will sustain you, right? So the Holy Spirit's for you. You're the well. But then the next thing he says, the Holy Spirit is like a river flowing out. Guess where it's supposed to flow out to? People. Look at the person next to you and say, people. Yeah, you, people. All righty? So the Holy Spirit is about helping us, but you are supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to help you, to help people. Oh, well, that's Pastor D's job. Where's Mark Salmon? Oh, that's Pastor Mark. That's what Jack would call him. Pastor Mark. Mark helps everybody. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit is for everybody to help. All right? You have the capability, when you have the Holy Spirit, to help others. Not just Mark and Pastor D. Praise the Lord, all right? He wants to work in us to help people. So everybody say, help people. Okay, homework assignment. Man, I talked a lot today. So someone says, Pastor D, don't call it homework assignment. It's very negative. Okay, here, you ready? Ready, your positive thing? Write down your challenge for the week. Ready? The challenge. Now, here we go. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today about? I'm pretty sure he was talking to you, right? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? All right. So tonight when you go to bed, sometimes if you, I get a nap this afternoon. I love Sunday naps. Okay. What did the Holy Spirit speak to you? What did the Holy Spirit speak to you? All righty. And the other part is, this is a yes or no. Have you been allowing him to work through you? All right. You know, instead of, the Holy Spirit said, I don't have to do that. No, we're not doing that anymore. Have you been allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you in any way? In any way, okay? Usually the Holy Spirit says two things to me. Don't say that, or you need to say this. This is always like this best thing he does. Okay, praise the Lord. I talked to Miss Kathy, praise the Lord, in the bookstore. The bookstore, we have a wealth of books, okay? And I gave her a like, kind of a last minute notice because I'm notorious. I'm getting better at that. The Holy Spirit said to call you in the middle of the week, and I didn't. A book's about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk, we've got three more weeks. We're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is, how he is our strengthener. We're just going to talk all about the Holy Spirit because I need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. So she's got books laid out. One I thought of is John Bevere's, we don't have it, go online, Drawing Near. It's not just about the Holy Spirit, but he's got about four chapters that are so meaty about sort of a lot of the stuff I said. So that's a good one. Hey, let's stand. Praise the Lord. Let's stand for a second. Father, I thank you that this message will help everybody. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You continue to deal with people. Hallelujah. And that they have ears to hear because they want help and they want to help others in Jesus' name. Before you leave, if there's anybody here and you've not received Jesus, we've talked a lot about that, receiving Jesus. He'll come and be inside you. He'll never leave you and forsake you. If you're here and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, today's the day of salvation. Today will... He will come into your heart and just change your life. He'll wipe away all the past and hurts and anything that just has been horrible in life. He takes that away and he makes you blameless, holy, righteous, and to the point where he adopts you into his family and you're his child. So if there's anybody here and you say, Pastor D, I need that. I want that. I have been far from the Lord. And today I would like to be a child of God. Is there anybody here? You just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. I won't embarrass you. Okay. Is there anybody? I'm looking at hands. Anybody? Okay. Look at the person next to you and say, hi, family. The Holy Spirit's in you. All right. You all have a wonderful